We're opening our Bibles this morning in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, commencing to read at verse number 4. Deuteronomy chapter 6, commencing to read at the verse number 4. Let us follow the reading of God's precious word together, please, as we open the scriptures of holy truth. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into a land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. And then we turn to Matthew's Gospel and the chapter number 19. We read at verse number 13, Matthew 19, verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, and departed thence. And then our final reading is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Verse number 1, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth, for his name's sake. Amen. We're gathered in God's house today with mom and dad here with this little precious little child that God has given unto them. And as we gather in God's house and they bring this little boy here among the people of God, our earnest prayer is that this little child will know the blessing of the Lord upon his life. There's just a few things that I'd like to say concerning the little children that God gives us. First of all, the children which God gives us are a gift from him. In the book of the Psalms, in the Psalm number 127, it says this, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And so this little boy that God has given to you, Alan and Jane, this little boy is a heritage of the Lord. In other words, this child is a gift from God. And we realize just how precious the gift is. This is the little child that God has given to you. I'm reminded in the Old Testament, in the 33rd chapter of the book of Genesis, how that Jacob was making his way to Esau, and Esau asked him concerning those that were with him. And this is what he said. And he said, The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. And God has graciously given you, Jane and Alan, this little boy. And God is saying to you, this is very precious, little boy, because he's a heritage of the Lord, a gift from God. The second thought I want you to remember this, that whilst the children are a gift from God, that they're not ours to keep. Always remember, God has given to us this gift. And sometimes we can feel very possessive. In other words, sometimes mom or dad, we get very possessive of our children. And somehow that we just simply think that we can take over their lives and we just would possess them. But remember this, that this child's a gift from God. And whilst it's true that you have been richly blessed, what God has done, God has placed this little boy into your care. And it is, whilst they're not ours to keep, they're ours to rear. And God has given you the privilege of rearing this child. Says that we're to train up the child. Our responsibility is to raise them. We're to raise them up. And they'll not always be with you. And I'll tell you this, enjoy it. Enjoy it now, because I'll tell you, no sooner are they with you that somehow years swiftly pass by and then they're gone. And so therefore we need to realize just they're not ours to keep. There comes a time whenever they can, if God blesses them with health and strength and God blesses them with a sound body, then the day will come and they'll fly the nest. And then, of course, you'll be realizing, you know, he wasn't ours to keep. But God has given you this privilege to raise up this child. But can I say this? While it's true they're not ours to keep, listen to me carefully, they're ours to teach. And God has said here in the Scriptures that we are to train up the child. We read in the book of Deuteronomy these words, thou shalt teach these things, that's the word of the Lord, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And the word diligently is simply this, giving thine whole heart to, or to make it a matter of the utmost importance. And you know, this is what it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. There are many things that this little child will have brought to his attention as he grows up and becomes a young boy and a young man. But I say to you earnestly, and I bless God that you brought your child to the house of God, the very beginning of his life. And God says you to teach your child the word of God. And that this is a solemn responsibility, that thou shalt teach them diligently. Listen, of the utmost importance, do it with all your heart. Above anything else, teach your child the unsearchable riches of Christ in his precious word. And then thank God that as your child hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, then the gospel of Jesus Christ can be in his heart, planted in his heart the good seed, which can come forth in an abundance of harvest unto salvation, which God can bring and give eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I just want to read just a little verse over in 3 John. And this is what is said here. John writes these words. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I have no greater joy. You know, sometimes parents can be very possessive, and naturally we want the best for our children. And when we hear our children getting a great position in society, somehow that's a great joy to us. When we hear of our children excelling in education, that's a great joy to us. And whenever they say, what does your child do? And mother, then you just sort of pull back your shoulders, and dad, you just really straighten up and say, well, you see, my child is, and you say, a doctor or some professor. And you know, you just somehow lift on the seat. But this is what John said. I have no greater joy than my child walks in truth, walks with God, because Jesus is the truth. And I say to you as parents today in God's house, that is my earnest prayer for your little boy. If God blesses him with a great mind, and God blesses him with so many other things, I'll rejoice with you. But I will have no greater joy than that your child walks with Christ, knows the Lord Jesus. And so I say to you, Alan and Jane, God has given you a very precious, precious gift, because it's his heritage. And God says, train up the child. He's not yours to keep. But he's yours to teach. He's yours to rear. And may God help you to do it wisely. And may you do it according to His precious word. And so my prayer is that while young in life, that your little boy will come to know Jesus as his own and as his personal Savior. And that he'll walk with God, that he'll walk in truth. May the Lord bless your home. Feel good today and in the days to come. The congregation, please stand. I dedicate thee, Alex William Clemens, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the little family that God has given you, Alan, Jane, little Alex here today, I say with all my heart, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and give you peace. Peace that was purchased in the coinage of the Savior's precious blood at a place called Calvary. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the blessing that Thou hast given to Alan and to Jane. We thank Thee for the many blessings that You've already bestowed upon them, but we thank Thee for this blessing of little Alex. And I pray that our God, that as Alex grows up and knows his right hand from his left, that, oh God, that he might come to hear the sweetest news, the news of Jesus, the mighty to save. And we pray that while young in life, he might come by faith to Jesus and receive eternal life in him. Bless their home. We thank thee for Alan and Jane. We thank thee for this little boy and the family that you have given them. And we pray that thou wilt circle their home in the precious blood. Grant that each and every one might know the Savior and that they might walk with God. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. And the people of God say, Amen. Let's sing together another lovely hymn. And the hymn in our hymn book is 694. 694. God makes my life a little light, within the world to glow, a little flame that burneth bright, wherever I may go. 694. Let's sing the words of this hymn together, please.
God make
God make my
We want to welcome you this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that God will continue to bless us as we continue around His precious and His holy and infallible Word. I want to make the announcements as quickly as I possibly can. First of all, at 3 o'clock this afternoon, there's a place of prayer. And that, of course, immediately after the service, we meet around the Lord's table to remember His death until He come. 3 o'clock, the prayer time. And at 3:30, the Gospel Open Air, which is in Thornhill Estate here in the town. And then on Monday evening at 6:30 this evening, there is the place of prayer. And at 7:30, the old-time gospel evening service. And do remember that service and pray that we might know the blessing of the Lord as we open the Scriptures together this evening in the gospel evening service. Then could I mention to you the meetings for the incoming week. On Monday evening, we have the Ladies' Fellowship, and that is at 8 o'clock. Ladies, please remember that meeting. The ladies will be taking that meeting themselves. They'll be having their own Christmas service, and then there will be a cup of tea afterwards. But I'm told the ladies do not need to bring any food, because that is supplied specially for them for the evening. And so, therefore, as a treat from Anne and the leadership of the Ladies' Fellowship meeting for Monday evening. On Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, we have the primary school for the boys and girls. At 9:30, it is the children in the high school or young people in the high school. On 10:30, it is the parents and toddlers group. At 2:30 in the afternoon, it is the senior citizens meeting. At 7:15 in the evening, it is the men's outreach down in the Station Road in Castle Dawson. At 7:15 also, the ladies will be doing the visitation in the hospital. 8 o'clock, it is the discipleship class. And the subject for the discipleship class this week is temptation. And therefore, do young people come and hear the word of the Lord on Tuesday evening in that discipleship class. On Wednesday evening at 7:15, we have the children's meeting. Now, there's a special meeting on Wednesday evening, and all the parents and all the loved ones are invited to a special carol service on Wednesday the 12th of December at 7:15. That's in the Sabbath School complex, and they're bringing the children over from Macarrah as well, and it's over here in the complex, and the children will be taking part, and the special speaker will be our brother Rodney Mitchell, the previous leader, of course, of the youth fellowship, or the children's meeting, rather, and that is on Wednesday evening at 7:15. So look forward to that, and all are invited to that. We'd like to come and share with the boys and girls. On Thursday evening at 7 o'clock in the Meadowell Fold at 7 p.m., we're visiting there, bringing little gifts to the seniors who are in there, and also singing carols. And if you can come, youth fellowship and others who'd like to be with us, you're very welcome to do so. And then at 8 o'clock, we have the prayer meeting and the Bible study here in the Lord's house, and we'll be continuing our study in the book of Numbers. On Friday evening at 7 o'clock, we're at Sandown Home, that is there in Moneymoor. We'd ask you to please help and be a part of that special occasion on Friday evening in the will of God. On Saturday afternoon, I think it's Saturday afternoon for the Sabbath school party, is that correct? And so therefore that's, I think, from 2 to 5 is the party. And I trust indeed that our boys and girls of the Sabbath school, the parents and all those that are with them, that they'll come and have a good time on Saturday afternoon in the will of the Lord. On 7:20 on Saturday evening, it's the prayer time for a youth fellowship. And at 8 o'clock, we have our brother, the Reverend Thomas Murray, and he's continuing the subject of purity in the life of the child of God and young people. And, of course, he's speaking to the young men and the young women. And the subject, a part of it, is the dress code in the life of purity. And that is on Saturday evening. And we ask our young people to come along and hear God's word as is brought forth the Reverend Thomas Murray on Saturday evening. Then on the Lord's Day, 10:45, the Sabbath School, the Bible classes. 12 noon is the fellowship time for family worship. And then at 2:30 in the afternoon, it's Ward 6 at the hospital. 3:30 in the afternoon, it's in the Brooklands home. 6:30, the time of prayer. 7:30, the old-time gospel evening service. I'm trying to get through these as quickly as I possibly can, but very, very important to have those announcements made. So do remember all of those meetings and pray that we might know the blessing of the Lord in. Could I say to our young people a word of thanks for all the help that they gave and were to the seniors and the widows and widowers that came. What a wonderful time was had yesterday afternoon. And we thank God for the great crowd of people that were gathered in for their five-course dinner. And that'll make some of your teeth water. And they had a real good time. And they really enjoyed it. And the Lord was with them. And also the program was put on. As some of the folks said going out, it was the best yet. And so therefore, I really do believe that. And that's what was said to me by the seniors and those that were gathered there. And I want to say thank you to the young people for all that they did. And also the kitchen staff, those that cooked the meal and prepared it. Certainly we want to say to them all and the helpers, thank you in the Saviour's precious and lovely name. Then could I also mention to you, next week is the retiring missionary offering for the Lord's work. Then there is the prayer request, the Reverend Paul Fitzsimons, Little London in Jamaica, and also Port Erin, that is in the Isle of Man. Some literature, the Revivalist is at hand, also the Our Children. It is the Education Board publication. There's also a prayer calendar for the missionary work, a daily prayer calendar there. And last but by no means least, can I draw your attention to this little booklet? It is, I think it's £2, this little booklet. It's entitled An Avenue to Atheism. Now, I'd ask parents to check whether your child is having this in school. Now, not this one, but it's on the subject of the Golden Compass. It is a new film that's coming out, and it is also some of the schools are having it. In United Kingdom, it's actually not called by that name. It may be called by another name under the title Northern Lights. And this is coming out, and in actual fact, it is a directly attacking the young minds in atheism. Let me tell you what the author says concerning his work. He said this, I am trying to undermine the basis of Christian belief. He said, I am all for the death of God. My books are about killing God. And yet, some of the young people in schools may be sitting under these books. Now, I'm asking you indeed, parents, to check whether your child is indeed. This little booklet gives an exposition of it, and certainly I've read some of this. I start to read it, only received it last evening. But it certainly is a warning. It is a clear warning that what the devil is trying to do, a road to atheism, trying to inject into the hearts and minds of our children some things concerning I am trying to undermine the basis of Christian belief. And so I pray that you'll pray about that and pray that God will indeed help you and give you guidance and wisdom about the matter itself. We'd like to extend our sympathy to our brother, Willie Montgomery, in the passing of his brother. We pray that God will comfort him and all of, that the Lord will draw graciously near to them, and that the Lord will help them even at this time of their bereavement. Pray for them, that God will be with them, and that God will give them grace at this time. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou will bless our brother Willie and her sister Olive. We pray for others who mourn today. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou will draw graciously near. And Lord, we pray that in this day in which we live, help us to, Lord, just be faithful to thee. And Lord, honor thee in all things. Cover us in the precious blood. And Lord, as we give our tithes and offerings, help us to give them as unto thee, knowing that our God, that every good and perfect gift comes alone from thee. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen.
Our offering hymn is the hymn number 574. 574, you'll find it on the page 408. And while our brethren are bringing the tithes into the storehouse, we just remain seated as we sing. 574, when the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land. Remaining seated.
When the storms of life are raging, tempest wild on sea and land, I will sing and
I want you to open your Bibles this morning for a few moments in the book of Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Let's follow the reading of God's precious truth. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up on the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep or oxen, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I will deliver you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and give you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, into whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, which had pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, Why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. The Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. God allowed his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless thy word now to our hearts. Pray that you'll make it a blessing. Help us, our God, to listen to thy voice. Help us, our God, to be those that will humbly follow after thee and know the direction and leading and guiding of thy Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. In the sixth chapter of the book of Judges, we have another very interesting part of the story concerning the pilgrimage of the children of Israel. We have been looking at some of the characters in the book of Judges. We have been looking at some of the judges that God sent and God raised up among his people. Last Lord's Day, we looked not at the men, but we looked at the women, because we noticed that God sent a Deborah and God sent a woman called Jael, and how God used them and how God blessed those women for the glory and the honor of his name. Now we find that as God takes us through this story of the children of Israel, that God raises up his next judge. His name is Gideon. Now you'll notice when we come to verse number 1, there is the cycle once again of tragedy. Because it says, And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And there it opens, this chapter opens with a sad record of a people who are rebellious against the Lord, who do not desire to walk in the paths of holiness, neither do they desire to follow God himself as he would lead them and guide them and bring them into the land of promise and blessing. And so we find here that they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. I told you before in our study in the book of Judges that if you were to summarize much of the children of Israel said this, that they did that which was right in their own eyes. They did that which was right in their own eyes. But the sad reality is what was right in their eyes was wrong in the sight of God. You remember here that they are denying God's authority over their lives because they did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And sadly, we could say concerning the children of Israel, they have lost their moorings. They have lost their recognition that God had the final authority and that God had the final say over their lives. And they did that which was right in their own eyes. And sadly, what happens here is this, that because of their sinfulness and their waywardness, they had lost the authority of God on their lives and in their lives. And they did that which was right in their eyes. And there was nothing right or there was nothing really wrong. They just did what they wanted to do. And friends, sad also today in this day and generation, there is little change because man wants to do that which is right in his own eyes. There is no absolute certainty anymore. And therefore we find what God did here, God will have to do in our day and generation because God, because of their sin, God had to judge them. And because of their rebellion, God had to humble them. And God reminds us in his word that he will humble those who are caught up in their own lives because he resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Now let me paint the picture. And that's what we can really do, is set the setting this morning, realizing the time is quickly going. You see, instead of the children of Israel standing up and being counted, and instead of the children of Israel here doing that which is right in God's eyes, we find that they're in bondage, because it says in verse 1 that the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. If you go to the end, or verse number 2, it says, "And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens, which are in the mountains and the caves and strongholds." In other words, instead of rising forth in victory and in liberty, we find that they lost their liberty, they lost their freedom, and instead of dwelling in freedom, we see them dwelling in dens and caves. They have lost the excitement of life, friend. And instead of that, they are in fear. They've lost the zest for living. And instead of that, they're in fear. Instead of victory, they are in weakness, and they're intimidated by the enemy. Look at verse 3. "And so it was when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and they destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza. And they left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass." And so we find here that the children of Israel are under judgment because of their sin. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, they swarm down upon them. And my, whenever they sow their seed, and whenever they're bringing in the harvest, we find the enemy comes and takes the harvest from them. And they're impoverished, and they have lost the victory. And there's problems and there's poverty in their lives. Notice what it says, of course, in verse number 6, "And Israel was greatly impoverished." Verse 7, "And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." And what it tells me in this passage is simply this, friend, that it took the problems of life. It took the impoverishment of life. It took the trials of life to break them and to humble them before God. Because it wasn't until the poverty came, it wasn't until the problems came, that they made their cry unto the Lord. Is that not true with our rebellious hearts? Quite often, friend, we take it our way. We rebel against the Lord, and we take it our way. We do that which is right in our own eyes, until God, in his sovereign plan and purpose, friend, it says this, "And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian." This was God's judgment. This was God's moving in judgment to humble them, to break them. Friend, sometimes God has got to allow problems. And God has got to allow trials in his sovereign purpose and plan to come into our lives. Sometimes God sends them directly. And God breaks us, and God humbles us, and drives us to the place where there's no one else but God. There's no one else to turn to but God. Let me tell you this, my friend. There was no one else that came to the deliverance of Israel. There's no one else that came to help them. They had only God. You know, I think it's a blessing when God, in his love, does that, because he judged these people in love. And friend, when God strips everything else aside, and God strips it all away, and God just removes it, and God reminds us, you have no one but me. There's no one else to turn to. There's no one else, friend, because man will have failed, and man will have turned his back, and man will have walked away, and you're left alone. And they cry to God. You know, you would say, why would God answer such a people? Why would God listen to their cry? Because it wasn't until everybody else had failed them that they even wanted to cry. That's the goodness of God, friend. That's the grace of God. And you know, friend, let me tell you, when everybody else washes you up, there's still a God that cares. There's still a God that loves you. And everybody else has given you up and handed you over, friend. Let me tell you, there's a sovereign God. And whatever God in His sovereign purpose sends into your life, remember these words. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And it doesn't say some things, He says all things. You say to me, preacher, do you mean the heartaches? Yes. You mean the days whenever the sun's not shining? Yes. You mean the days when I'm lying on my back and the body's frail and weak and hurting? Yes. For God said all things work together for good to them that love God. Maybe your problems today that I know nothing about, friend. Maybe in your heart there's something beating there. And there's a pain and there's an anguish that nobody knows anything about. And you say, preacher, if you only knew the thing. Do you love the Lord today? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Then listen to that word again, friend. All things work together for good to them that love God. And you know, God in His sovereign love and mercy and patience with Israel. What a rebellious people. When I said to you, look at the book of Judges, it's a cycle. And you say, surely they'll learn, surely they'll listen, surely they'll be able to stop in their tracks, and they're not going to repeat the disaster again, the mistakes of the past. Sad to say, friend, read the book of Judges. Right to the last chapter. And they did it over and over again. And yet you know what you find? That when they were humbled, and when God brought them to there was nowhere else to go, friend, God heard their cry. God listened. Let's read verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. God sent the Midianites. God delivered them into the hands of men. And here's a people and they're crying because of what God sent. Of course, God sent it because of their sin. They're under punishment. They were under judgment. Because they were rebellious people. And God sent the Midianites. And so they cry. Verse 8. The Lord sent a prophet. And God sends the prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And now they're ready to listen to God, friend. They're ready to listen. You know, when everything's going fine, friend, to be honest, we're not really ready to listen, are we? We live in a day and an age. The tragedy is this. I was sitting with some of the seniors yesterday, and a lady said to me, she said, you know, Mr. McCrae, people are so hard today. They're so hard. She said, how is it? And the truth of the matter is this, friend, because we are richly blessed. We have plenty in many ways, each and every one of us. You say, well, I haven't got plenty. Let me tell you, friend, just you stop and think. You have clothes on your back today. And there are many people in the world, let me tell you, and they haven't a stitch to cover them. And you're not going hungry today. I'll tell you this, your children are not going to bed crying. Say, Mommy, I'm hungry. Your children have a wee swollen belly. And they've waited for days together. to get a hand out of something, but not at all. You are blessed and so am I. Tell you what would do us good this morning. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what God has done. But the sad reality is this, friend. Listen. Because of the blessings that you have, listen, you feel you have need of nothing. In actual fact, you feel, man feels today he doesn't need God. And it's only whenever his back is against the wall, and whenever tragedy strikes, and whenever his heart's breaking, that he'll cry out unto God. And God sends a prophet. Let me tell you this, friend. It says in verse 7 that Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. That wasn't their problem. Their problem was not the intimidation of the Midianites. Their problem was not, my friend, even the lack of food and their poverty because of the Midianites. They had a deeper problem. And I'll tell you, it's the same today. You can identify whatever problem it is that you think it's in this country, friend, or in this United Kingdom, or in this world. Let me tell you this. Here's the problem. It was a spiritual problem. That was their problem. They had turned their back on God. They had followed after false gods. It was a spiritual problem. It wasn't an intimidation problem. It was a spiritual problem. And thank God, whenever God brought them to an end of themselves, then they cried unto the Lord. Not many people today cry unto God, friend. Not many people taking time to say, listen, we've got problems in our land. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll have a prayer meeting. We'll humble ourselves before God and we'll get down and we'll be broken before God and say, God, you said, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. Admitted, God, our help's only in thee. And I tell you this, until you and I see that, and until you and I believe it, we'll still have the problem. Because there's only one answer. There was one answer here, and the answer, friend, is the same today. It was the Lord. The Lord. They cried unto the Lord. They cried unto the Lord. And whenever they cried unto the Lord, God raised up a prophet. Let me tell you. We're going to come next Lord's Day if God spares us to come to the to Gideon's life. But I want to tell you something about Gideon. Listen, friend, listen. If you're looking for something special in the characteristics of Gideon, you're missing out. You're missing the whole story. Now, whenever people talk about Gideon, they talk about the 300. Let me tell you, friend, it wasn't the 300. It was in God. God took them from the 32,000 and God brought them down to 300. But let me tell you this, God was saying the secret of success is not in the 300 or the 32,000. It's in me. It's in me. And we need the Lord today. We need Him more than ever we've needed Him before. People have turned their back on Him. And they'll try everything but God. And God's only an add-on, friend. Be used and abused because, listen, no time to pray. No time to seek His face. And the importance of Gideon's life is not in some great personal characteristic that stands above others, listen, but it's in what God did with the life of Gideon. It's what God did. And God could only do it when Gideon surrendered his life unto the Lord. Let me tell you a little as much when God's in it. And I'll tell you, friend, listen. Man may mark us out and man may say we're finished, but I want to tell you, but God. And I can honestly say before God, God says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And that's where my eyes are this morning. But God. Oh, that God would take your eyes and my eyes of others and things and possessions and get our eyes on Him. But God. We'll come to Gideon's visitation. Where was he whenever God came? Let me tell you where he was. This mighty man of valor. Do you know where he was? Hiding. Hiding. Not hiding from God. Hiding from the Midianites. What was he doing? He was threshing. He was threshing corn. But where was he doing it? Was he doing it in the threshing floor? No. You know why, friend? Because the threshing floor was up there. It was in a place of height. Do you know why? Whenever he would throw the wheat up and he would toss it up into the air, the wind would come because it was there in the open place, and the wind would come and it would blow the chaff away. But he wasn't up there. He was way down there. He was away in the wine press. As far away as he could get. Because he was afraid of the enemy. Hadn't he got it wrong, friend? He feared man, but he didn't fear God. Haven't we got it wrong today? People's afraid of man. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. What keeps men and women away from Jesus? The fear of man. Fear of what others would say. And Jesus says, I say, fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. But there's no fear of God today before men's eyes. Oh, may God deliver us. May God turn us. And we shall be turned. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll make it a blessing to our hearts. Get our eyes upon thee, for thou art the author and thou art the finisher of our faith. O Lord, I pray in Jesus' precious name that of those this morning they know not thy Son, the Lord Jesus. O that they will come by faith and receive him. For as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons and daughters of God, even to them that believe in his name. Lord Jesus, we need thy presence. We need thy power. Oh God, come and visit our land, we pray, with revival. Turn the hearts of the people to thee, and we shall be turned, for Jesus' sake.